Garneth Medical Center, Catskills, located in Harris and Calicoon, a member of the Garnet Health System, garnethealth.org, and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Hey now, it's the Local Edition. Welcome. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. In the second half of the program, we'll be speaking with Eric Balin, the Sullivan County Poet Laureate, talking about ducks and poetry on Main Street on Jeff this weekend. But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition, and every other week, we check in with Barry Lewis. He has a column in the New Times Herald Record, and this week he's writing about unplugging at concerts and enjoying living in the moment. And on the phone with us now is Barry Lewis. Barry, are you there? Barry?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there you go. Sorry about that. They have technical difficulties there. Yes, so unplugging at concerts. I know that's it's hard.
That's what you just did to me.
I almost did. I almost unplugged you there. unplugging at concerts. I mean, that has to be hard. For a person like me at my age, it's hard to let go of your phone at one point. Can it be done?
Well, you know, it is. There's been, you know, there was a survey done. Gallup did a poll that 80% of us check work emails when we're not at work. You know, and we all know that we're constantly, people will look at downtime as being at a funeral or while their spouse is in labor. That's downtime. So, yeah, we do have it difficult. And what a lot of performers, particularly comedians, who don't want their act out there, or who really find it distracting to have somebody either texting or putting a camera in their face while they're performing, have decided that they're going to empower themselves and are now requiring that phones be shut off or put on vibrate. And instead of just asking audiences to do so, they're working with this company called Yonder, right? It's Yondr, and they've created this pouch. And I first experienced it at a Bethel Woods show with the comedian John Mulaney. And I've been
so they make you put your cell phone inside the pouch?
Yeah, you put it inside a pouch. You hold the pouch, but it locks.
Right.
And so if you really needed to use your phone, you go to a designated area, almost like if you went to smoke. But otherwise, your phone is, for the most part, locked up in your possession until after the performance.
Right. Right. I could see it. That makes sense. You know, when you mentioned the comedian part, I really didn't think about that. You know, back
in
the day.
Some singers have as well, too. Yeah.
Like, you know, for a comedian, you're developing material that, you know, could eventually become nowadays, you know, a Netflix special or an HBO special. And you know, in the beginning, I'm sure in the comedian, you're working on a material. It's rough in the beginning. It's not going to be, you know, the most perfect thing in the world. And someone's posting that on social media, and then that goes viral, and then you lose the bit. So I can see, you know, that becoming a problem.
You're exactly right. I remember seeing Robert Klein years and years ago. He was playing when they used to have acts when there was a Racino at Monticello, and he was working on material. We've all heard stories, you know, before people like Seinfeld went back on the road or other really well-known Eddie Murphy, whoever's doing stand-up and particularly of a noted person, whoever you are, you're going to try out material. And what they don't want is just what you said. They're fine-tuning it. It would be like, filming a rehearsal for a singer who's just, you know, trying to get the music right. You know, they just don't have it. And in a previous life, well, that was no problem. You know, somebody may play at a small club, and either the audience liked it or didn't like it, but it pretty much stayed within that group, that audience, be it 100 or 50 people, whatever. But now, through people pulling out a phone, suddenly that material that somebody is working on goes out, can go out to millions. And
right.
It's also distracting. I don't know if you've been to shows,
yes.
But you know, it's one thing, and it is annoying, to have somebody at a show checking messages. You know, the place is dark.
Right.
But I find it very annoying, and I can't believe people do this. Is they'll put up their phone and not just take a picture, but they're videotaping songs.
They're filming the concert for themselves.
Right. And two things we need to realize with that. One, these people are not going to go back and watch the concert on their phone. Second, if you YouTube practically any song done by almost any artist on this planet, you can see a video. And so people get so immersed, and there was actually a study done in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, I'm not making this up, that people get so focused on their phone
right. That
they actually miss what's going on.
Right. Right. They're not living in the moment, I guess. You know, like, I've seen it. I've seen that a sea of cell phones, and everyone's, you know, looking at the screen and not looking at the concert.
Yeah. I sometimes will feel I'll watch the screen at a concert.
Right.
That they'll provide because I'm going to be able to get a close-up
right.
of, let's say, the pianist, or you know, they'll play on a solo of someone. And, of course, depending on where you're sitting, you may look at that. But you're still getting that whole atmosphere of a live show as opposed to, you know, being
yeah.
so distracted with your phone. And it's in some ways it's frivolous, but for somebody who may be, you know, if you're sitting behind somebody and you've paid $150 for a ticket and
yeah,
you can't help but be distracted.
Right, yeah. You end up looking at the phone and end up looking at it. And for me, personally, I've done it and I'm looking at people's phones and I'm like, wow, you know, if you just move the phone a little bit to the left, you have a really good angle there. But that's a photographer in me. But I have to admit.
And they're not just
yeah.
doing it, but what's amazing now
yeah.
is this company is working with schools and hospitals.
Right.
And religious institutions, and they're working out the same deal. They are making sure that people are forced because they can't. We don't, you know. We're like addicted. We're addicted to it, and so we need help. We need somebody from the outside to say, "I'm going to handle this for you."
Right.
And
yeah.
so these people, and again, you have it on your possession. You don't lose it. If you need it, you can use it. But you're not going to do it where you're going to disrupt other people, including a performer.
Right, right. And like I said, it's about living in the moment. And, you know, I have to admit, I've done that before. I've gone to concerts and filmed it on my cell phone. And I remember distinctly one particular concert I went to, and I just remember filming it on my phone. And I'm like, oh, I got it. And I was so happy about it. And, you know, turn on the TV. And at that time, MTV was just playing it on TV and, you know, nice professional video. And, you know, it didn't match up to my cell phone quality at that time. So,
yeah. And we've taken pictures, like a quick snapshot. You know, I'm not playing pious here. I've looked at phones, you know, during a show or in between, you know, suddenly there's a young. I've done it too. I can honestly say I've never, you know, been recording, but I've taken these pictures. I remember going to see Peter Frampton at Bethel Woods years ago, and all of a sudden, you know, Frampton, I think it was in between songs. I don't think he stopped in the middle of a song, and he looked down at somebody who was in the front row, and he said, I can't believe you're doing this. You're playing with your phone. There are people
wow.
who are on the lawn who would kill to sit where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And you're not paying attention.
Wow.
And he called the person out. And other performers have called out people on stage. Adele did it. Madonna has done it. On Broadway, people have stopped shows because somebody's phone starts ringing.
Right, right. No, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's one of those things in life that, you know, maybe we're going to reach a point that eventually we're going to do what our parents and our grandparents did at shows is we're going to be forced to actually watch them.
Right. Watch them and pay attention to what you're doing instead of paying attention to your phone. But like I said, it says something about society, how we are have become so attached to the phone. When just a couple of years ago, not too long ago, you know, I'm old enough to know that a life without cell phones, and when you left the house, you know the only way you contact your home was a payphone on the street or go into a store to ask for to use the payphone. But nowadays, you know, I leave my cell phone at home, and I leave the house. I question my own existence, you know, if you have a cell phone.
Exactly. I mean, how did we, you know, there's a lost art. You know, nobody knows how to use a map anymore.
Right.
And it's fine. GPS is good. It's a great, but like you, I used to, when I was in school and growing up in Brooklyn, you know, at that time it was only a dime and then eventually a quarter. But you used to stick a dime or a quarter in your shoe in case you got mugged. You always had a way to call home, like you said, using a payphone.
Right.
You know, there wasn't that cell phone. So I think for those of us, for most of us who are probably listeners, we know what life was like before that. And it's not as if it's terrible having the cell phone. It has a lot of great, you know, there's a lot of great things about it. But one of the downsides is that we become so attached to it that we just can't break away. And suddenly somebody is forcing us to break away. And for 2 hours, when I went to the show, for 2 hours, I didn't have my phone. I didn't have to, I wasn't able to get to it or, you know, to use it. And it was okay. I survived.
Right. Did you have any, like, withdrawals, like the first 5 minutes or anything like that?
It was more of an initial, you reach for it, and then you realize, oh, okay. So you do that once or twice, and then you forget about it. I think it's wonderful, and I think as we in school, it's going to be real. Now I was reading, looking up on this. People had a concern. They said, well, what happens if, you know, I want to check on my kid? There's a babysitter. You know, or nobody can get a hold of me.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
You know, it could be on vibrate, and then, you know, you could tweak your vibration so that if you maybe know who it is that's vibrating, and then
right.
you can go out and do it.
Right.
Yes, it is, you know, that means that, yeah, somebody can't reach you.
Right.
But
like I said, there was a time when you went to school and they still reached you. I remember that very clearly, you know, like, come to the principal's office because X, X, Y, and Z is on the phone, you know?
Yeah, what happened 20 years ago when people couldn't reach you? They reached you.
Right.
So this notion of, well, the sitter won't be able to reach me. Well, think about a life before cell phones. Somehow we all managed.
Right.
And I don't think it's asking too much that for 2 hours we somehow manage again.
Right. No, definitely. Thank you again, Barry Lewis. I think you said it all. Thank you again for talking to us, letting me about your column that comes out this Sunday at the time in the Times Herald Record. Barry Lewis says, unplug, live in the moment, enjoy the moment, put down your cell phone, it's worth it. Thank you again. I look forward to talking to you again. And thank you again for joining us on the local edition.
All righty. Patricia, be well. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
This is the local edition. Coming up, we'll be talking about ducks and poetry in Jeffersonville this Saturday. It's a local edition on Radio Catskill. We'll be right back.
That have so little to do with our culture, the culture of Ashkenazi Jews. The music transcends. It takes hold. Someone hears it, falls in love with it. That's why I'm so happy to share this with you. I'm Aaron Bendich, and I play a selection of Jewish recordings on Borscht Beat on Radio Catskill.
Sunday afternoon at 1.
Thank you for all the ways you help WJFF Radio Catskill. Your support sustains the news, music, and local voices that make up WJFF.
It's only possible because of your generosity. Help keep it going. Consider signing up to be a sound supporter to make sure Radio Catskill has your constant support. Go to WJFFradio.org. And thank you for supporting public radio in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
The Radio Catskill Community Awards, September 30th, honoring our healthcare heroes for making a difference, for putting the well-being of others above all else, for staying strong in these unprecedented times, including Sullivan 180. Join us at Calicoon Hills, September 30th. Ticket information at WJFFradio.org. The Radio Catskill Community Awards, honoring our healthcare heroes, September 30th.
Thoroughbreds, plow horses, cats, dogs, birds, sheep, a fox, a goat, and even T.S. Eliot reading his poem about how cats get their names. Please listen to Ballads and Banjos live Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m. on Radio Catskill, 90.5 FM.
Welcome back to The Local Edition. I'm Patricia Rubio. This Saturday, the Jeff Jamboree will be on Main Street in Jeffersonville. This annual event includes a tractor parade, a pancake breakfast, food, music, and more. And every year there's a duck race. And to kick off the duck race, there'll be the Sullivan County Poet Laureate, Eric Balin, who'll be making an appearance also at the Weston Sullivan Public Library from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Eric's on the phone with us now to tell us about the poetry and ducks. Eric, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
How you doing?
Thanks for inviting me.
Yes,
I'm doing well. Thanks for inviting me.
No problem, Eric. Now, duck race. I have to admit, I'm not from originally from Sullivan County, and when I moved up here, I'm originally from the Bronx, and when I moved up here and I heard about duck race, I visited the duck race in Wurtsboro, and I went there with the impression or the idea of, like, I'm going to see live ducks race. And I was so pumped up for this. And I remember driving down there, and I'm there. I got my camera ready. And I was disappointed and excited at the same time to find out that it was rubber ducks. And, I mean, it was fantastic to see these rubber ducks, you know, float down the street. But like I said, it's a duck race. It is for a good cause. So tell us about your involvement with the Jeff Jamboree and the duck race.
Well, I was in a similar place and not knowing fully about the duck race, and I did my research as well. But yes, indeed, it's a duck race with rubber duckies, and it's been going on for a while. I was talking to a friend today who said he used to bring his kids to this years ago, and it was a great, great event. So my role will be I have written a poem to inaugurate, to kick off the duck race. And so I'll be reading that at the beginning at 2 o'clock as the ducks take their place in the creek.
Right.
And I will also be, at the library tent, which will be next to the firehouse in Jeffersonville, and I will be inviting people to help me write verses for a song that I've been composing about Jeffersonville, and inviting people to give me ideas and maybe even write a phrase or a verse. Yes,
no, that's great that you're getting the public involved, and especially an event like that. Just to let people know that I was at your inauguration of when you became Poet Laureate, and you did a great thing there. You got the audience involved. You had this big whiteboard, and you had everyone throw words at you, and you sort of, you know, created this poem on the spot using everyone's input there. So it's great that you're continuing with this tradition you've been doing.
Yeah, that was great fun. That was really great fun. And you never know what's going to come out of those things. And I'm hoping the same thing tomorrow, that something fun will come out of it. I have a song. Maybe we'll even get to sing the song at some point, but it will be fun trying to include details and information about Jeffersonville, like the businesses and what you can do. It's called You Can Do Most Anything in Jeffersonville. That's sort of the title of the song.
That's great. How long have you been working on the song?
Well, I started it a while back, a few weeks ago, but then I decided, you know, it'd be nice to get input from the community. It seemed like it would be a great opportunity at the Jamboree Day to get people involved. So, and I want to make poetry something accessible, as something that people feel like they can join in. It's not going to be something so over their heads or serious. So I'm hoping that many people will come help me out a little bit.
Right, no, definitely. That's definitely an important thing to have, to strive for, to have poetry accessible, because it could be a little daunting to some people, poetry, and they may not get it, quote unquote, not get it right away. But, you know, there is a beauty in that, like I said, the accessibility to poetry. It is there.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And I think there's a poet in everybody. It's
right.
just a matter of just drawing it out of them. Yeah. So that's one of my roles as poet laureate, is to try to draw poetry out of people and have them write and read and make poetry and see poetry all around them.
Right, right. Now, you're poet laureate. This is your first year, of course.
Yeah.
I was only one term, I believe, in poet laureate. But what has been your summer like? What have you been doing this summer as a poet laureate?
Well, I started out with, I've been going to several of the events in the county, and at the Calicoon Country Fair back in July, and I presented a poem entitled Calicoonery, about the town of Calicoon, and I also wrote and sang a song about the Delaware River. And then later the next month, in August, I was at the Bagel Festival in Monticello, and again, I wrote a poem entitled, of all things, Bagel, and read that at the Bagel Fest, and also composed another song specifically for that event entitled A Bagela. It was a very spirited and fun song, and we sang that with the help of some of my ukulele playing friends. We sang that song. And so I've been looking for opportunities in these local events, and I write specifically for them, so that it's something that's made catered to that particular event.
Right, right. And I always catch every once in a while, you go on Facebook every day and do a poem a day.
I do, yes, yes. I have a Facebook and Instagram. You can go to either one, Sullivan County Poet Laureate, either on Facebook or on Instagram, and I post a poem every weekday. Some of the poems are thematic. This week, the theme was, of all things, goldenrod. It's actually
right.
Poets, and they're not all my poems. They're poems by other people as well.
Right.
And then I post some very short poems on Tuesday and Thursday. I call them Insta-poems, because it's well-suited for Instagram.
Right.
They're very short poems.
Right.
15 seconds or less.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I have a poet on the phone, so I have to ask you, do you have a poem for us that you can read on air?
I do have a poem. As I was saying, I write things for the events, and I actually wrote something for this interview. It's about WJFF. Can I read that one?
Yes, please, please.
Okay. Radio Catskill, WJFF. A community weaver, its warp and weft are your neighbors who give it a personal touch, describing the local scene and such. They talk to the artists and farmers and all. They tell us the weather, keep us on the ball. Got a cozy feel, not a city slickin' sound. Easy to listen to is what I found. Got reggae and blues, country and jazz. Some genuine color, local razzmatazz. Got farm and country, ballads and banjos, Catskill characters and plenty more, who knows? Radio Catskill. It's a local gem. So I tune in to 90.5 FM.
That's
it.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Wow. That's fantastic, Eric. Wow. Eric, always a pleasure to talk to you. And like I said, you'll be at the Jeff Jamboree this Saturday.
I will be, yes.
Yes. Anything else you have upcoming? Do you have any other plans, any other events? I know, like I said, you do the Facebook every day. But any other events coming up besides the Jeff Jamboree?
Well, I'll be giving workshops at the libraries all around the county. That's one of my roles as being poet laureate, is to offer workshops and open mics at the library. So I have one. I have several coming up in October in South Salzburg and Grahamsville, and I think several others. So I'll be doing those periodically over the course of the year.
Right, right.
As well as looking for other opportunities, any local events, and happy to join in wherever I can.
Right, right. Now, you know, how has been your experience so far? I know you've been a teacher for so many years, and now you're the sort of kind of poet laureate. You know, how has been your experience so far? Are you enjoying it, or are you? How has been the reaction so far with people? You know, seeing you on Facebook Live or seeing you at the events.
I'm having a ball, actually. I'm having a great time. As you said, I taught for 50 years, 50 more than 50 years, actually. I taught visual art and teaching visual art and teaching poetry or working with poetry are sort of in the same ballpark. It working with materials and trying to give new ideas, new life, new perspectives by playing around, in this case, playing around with words. So I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm looking to hoping to meet other poets in the county. I haven't had a chance to do that much yet, but hoping to. And the answer is very short. I'm having a great time.
Right, right.
And yes. Looking forward to more.
Right. I'm sure it's it does put a bit damper on things, unfortunately, with the pandemic. I'm sure not being interactive with the public. Normally you would be. I'm sure poet laureates, visiting libraries and doing workshops and things like that. So.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Again, Eric, if you could just give the social media handles of where people could find you.
Yeah, it's Sullivan County Poet Laureate, all one word. Facebook, and the same thing, Sullivan County Poet Laureate. Instagram, I think you can find it either way, yes.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. Thank you so much, Eric, for joining us on the Local Edition. You can see Eric again this Saturday at the Jeff Jamboree, who'll be at the library tent from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and at the Duck Race at 2 p.m. at the Memorial Bridge, and he'll be kicking it off. Thank you again so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Patricio. It's a pleasure.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's it for the Local Edition. Thank you to our guests tonight, Barry Lewis, Eric Balin. Thank you to Tim Bruno, Jason Doe, and Meg Duff for helping produce the shows this week. We'll be back on Monday at 6:30. We'll be talking to Heather Brown, Sullivan County Sustainability Coordinator, and we'll be talking about the new bill that was signed by the New York State Governor. That'll be talking about phasing out gas-powered cars and what that means for Sullivan County. So that conversation is happening this Monday at 6:30. And if you ever miss a show, don't worry. We have a podcast. You can find us anywhere where you find podcasts. Google, Apple, Stitcher. Search for WJFF Radio Catskill, The Local Edition. Subscribe, share it, tell your friends. Find us on social media at WJFF Radio Catskill. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Follow us to find out who will be on the show. We post every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Also, check us out on the internet and check us out on the Local Edition website, wjffradio.org/thelocaledition. This here, you can find upcoming guests and you'll see the past guests, and also you can listen to the show. You've been listening to the Local Edition. I'm Patricio Rubio. Good night, Lucy. Everyone, have a safe weekend. And here's last look at the weather. Currently, it is 67. Low tonight, 63. High tomorrow, 79. High tomorrow, 70. High on Sunday, 73. Looks good. Low, 50. This is Radio Catskill, your NPR station. WJFF, Jeffersonville. Coming up is the mixtape.
The Upper Delaware Welcome Center at the Narrowsburg Union, featuring information about regional attractions and activities, along with products by artisans, makers, and craftsmen at Catskills Curated. NarrowsburgUnion.com.
If you hear good music, you're listening to Radio Catskill. Your weekend can't even begin until Clyde Alvin-Yates III sets it off Saturday night at 7. At 9, an hour of global sounds from the African diaspora on Afropop. Then at 10, Selector Starkey and DJ Chuck spend 4 hours of funk, hip-hop, roots reggae, club classics, and more live on Old School Sessions. Saturday night